UT.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. World football's governing body, FIFA, has banned African soccer chief Ahmad Ahmad for 5 years following an ethics investigation. In a statement Monday, FIFA said its ethics committee found the 60-year-old Ahmad guilty of offering and accepting gifts and other benefits and misappropriation of funds. FIFA also fined Ahmad more than $200,000. Ahmad is from Madagascar. He has been president of the Confederation of African Football since 2017 and was standing for re-election in 2021. The 5-year FIFA ban applies to all football-related activity at both national and international level. Ahmad can appeal the ban at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And we'll have reaction to FIFA's disciplinary action later this week on the show.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
World football's governing body, FIFA, says it plans to introduce new regulations to protect the rights of female players, including mandatory maternity leave. The reforms have been put forward by FIFA's Football Stakeholders Committee and will go to FIFA's council next month for approval. The chairman of FIFA's Football Stakeholders Committee is Victor Montagliani. He's also the president of CONCACAF, the Confederation of North, Central America, and Caribbean Association Football. Montagliani talks about the new regulations for female players and the development of the women's game.
Well, I think we've seen women's football has come a long way on the pitch. The last two World Cups have been a tremendous success. TV audiences, attendances. I think we've seen now the proliferation of women's football at the professional level, at the club level. There's transfers now being done, and I think it was important for us to catch up from a regulatory standpoint and address some of the issues that haven't been addressed specifically for women players. So we thought it was important to sort of set a minimally global standard. Of course, our member associations are free to offer even more protection to the players, but we thought it was very important that we offer some minimum standards as it relates to labor conditions of a female player, specifically maternity. You know, all in all, this regulatory framework really, at the end of the day, underpins conditions that our female players in the world now can enjoy a long and healthy career. And this supports them not only as footballers, but it also supports them as parents.
Victor Montagliani says FIFA is planning to mandate that clubs allow at least 14 weeks of maternity leave, paid at a minimum 2/3 of a player's full salary. However, national football associations can also decide on more generous terms. FIFA also says clubs will be under an obligation to reintegrate the female player into football activity after childbirth and provide adequate ongoing medical support. Any club that ends a player's contract for becoming pregnant would have to pay compensation and a fine and be banned from the transfer market for 1 year. FIFA says the idea is to protect female players before, during, and after childbirth. The new FIFA regulations also seek to address problems for coaches working internationally. Once again, Let's hear from Victor Montagliani.
Well, I think we all agree the important role that a coach plays in football, individually for a player, within a team atmosphere, even at a club, obviously. But ironically, we haven't never had specific regulations that protected this employment relationship of a coach in the football world. There's been a lack of legal certainty and a lack of protection for coaches. And we felt that we needed to fill this gap at FIFA by introducing new regulations to ensure this labor framework for coaches. More transparency, more legal clarity. We believe this will help the entire football market, not just specifically the coaches themselves, which is obvious.
That's Victor Montagliani, the chairman of FIFA's Football Stakeholders Committee. He's also the president of CONCACAF, the Confederation of North, Central America, and Caribbean Association Football.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at the weekend action in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham made it 3 goals in 3 games as his goal away at Newcastle secured a 2-0 win for the Blues. Chelsea are now unbeaten in 9 games in all competition and haven't lost in their last 6 league matches. Liverpool also set a new club record of 64 straight unbeaten home league games with an impressive 3-0 win over Leicester City at Anfield. An own goal from Johnny Evans and headers from Diogo Jota and Roberto Firmino are just enough to give Klopp a victory over his predecessor Brendan Rodgers. The result moves the defending champions level on 20 points with leaders Tottenham Hotspur, who secured a surprise 2-0 win with goals from Heung-min Son and Giovanni Lo Celso. Here is Jose Mourinho's take on the discipline of the team.
That discipline is not just about a plan, is about also an emergency plan, which is when somebody makes a mistake or when somebody is not in the position where it should be in a certain moment of the game, you have to compensate and you have to cover for it. So that discipline demanded a big effort and the guys, they were fantastic. I'm super happy, super proud of them. A proper team performance with every individual giving everything, I'm very, very happy.
The win moves Spurs above London rivals Arsenal, who survived an inexplicable red card for Ivorian striker Nicolas Pepe and a wave of pressures from Leeds United to earn a 0-0 draw at Elland Road. West Brom saw Manchester United pick up all 3 points thanks to a Bruno Fernandes penalty kick, which separated the two sides in a 1-0 game at Old Trafford. United have won their first home league game of the season, ending a run of 6 consecutive games without victory, while West Brom have failed to win any of their opening 9 games to a league season for the first time since the 1985-1986 season. Here is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's post-match analysis of the game.
Delighted to get 3 points, of course. First win in the league this season, so and a clean sheet. We're happy with that. Very tight calls, and I think probably made the right two right decisions with the pens, even 3 right decisions because Sam was off the line.
After successive victories, United are in the top half of the table for the first time this season, and surely there must be some satisfaction for the Red Devils in going above their bitter rivals Manchester City in the table. PSG's French striker of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored 2 first-half goals on his return from injury, as Monaco came from 2 goals down to end Paris Saint-Germain's 8-match winning streak in the French league with a stunning victory. Monaco came out transformed after the break, as Kevin Volland scored 2 passes past Keylor Navas in 14 second half minutes before Cesc Fabregas completed the comeback. Lille's Issoufou Azissi scored 2 and set up another goal as they hammered visitors Lorient 4-0 to narrow the gap with French league leaders Paris Saint-Germain to 2 points. Yazishi scored in each half, with Luis Araujo and Jonathan David also scoring to put second place Lille on 22 points from 11 games. Olympique Lyon lie third on 20 points after Zimbabwean striker Tino Kadivere gave them a 1-0 win at Tangier early on Sunday. Montpellier also moved level on 20 points with Lyon after thrilling 4-3 home win against second bottom Strasbourg, with Algerian striker André Dilot scoring 2 and creating the winner. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
And in the Spanish league, Atletico Madrid pulled off their first La Liga win over Barcelona in more than a decade, as Yannick Carrasco capitalized on a blunder from Barca's keeper to secure a 1-0 victory at an empty Wanda Metropolitano Stadium. The Belgian winger broke the deadlock at the end of the first half, pulling off a classy backheel to knock the ball through the legs of Ter Stegen and keep his composure in front of goal after the German had charged out of his area. Barca captain Lionel Messi had a match to forget, creating very little danger, while former Atletico forward Antoine Griezmann missed the target in each half as the Catalans fell to a third defeat of the season, leaving them 12th in the table on 11 points. In other matches, Nigerian winger Samuel Chukwueze played a crucial role in helping Villarreal hold Real Madrid to a 1-1 draw. The result stretched the yellow submarines' unbeaten start to the 2020-2021 season to 10 league games, and they remain unmoved in second spot in the La Liga table with 19 points after 10 outings. Real remained fourth in the table with 17 points. Elsewhere in Italy, five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo's first-half double allowed Juventus to climb to fourth in the Serie A standings with a 2-0 win over Cagliari at Juventus Stadium. The win enabled manager Andrea Pirlo's unbeaten side to close the gap to leaders AC Milan to 4 points. In talking about AC Milan, Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored twice as Serie A leaders AC Milan beat 10-man Napoli 3-1 on Sunday to record their first league win in Naples for more than 10 years. The result means unbeaten Milan retained top spot on 20 points, 2 clear of Sassuolo in second, and 6 ahead of 6th place Napoli. The match also ended an 11-match winless league run for the Rossoneri in this fixture and marked only their second Serie A victory away to Napoli in the 21st century, the other 2-1 win in October 2010, in which Ibrahimovic also scored during his first spell at the club. Meanwhile, Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku scored twice as Inter Milan completed a thrilling second-half comeback from 2 goals down to beat Torino 4-2 in Serie A on Sunday, ending a 4-match winless run in all competitions. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Yo, for the greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Nigeria's American coach, Mike Brown, has named a 20-man provisional team for this week's AfroBasket 2021 qualifying tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. The basketball action begins Friday and goes through Sunday, November 29th. The Nigerian men will compete in Group D against host Rwanda, Mali, and South Sudan. South Sudan took the place of Algeria, which withdrew because of COVID-19 concerns. To find out more about the Nigerian team, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, Felix Awogu.
First of all, this is the first time Coach Mike Brown will be assembling the team. You know, remember, he just got that job, and I really hope he does well with that tournament. I see it as a dress rehearsal for the Olympic. We've qualified for the Olympic, which was shifted from 2020 to 2021, and it'll be great. And I think we're now the brand pride of most of the Nigerians in the U.S. who have actually most of the time had wanted to play for the NBA. Some of them are actually keen on playing for Nigeria. So it's quite an exciting opportunity to give all these players a chance to showcase what they have. People like Ezeli, who had not honored the invitation in the past, is also coming in. So it will be great. Let's see what they can offer us. And then from there, pick up a very good and qualitative team at the Olympic Games. It's going to be, it's an open field, and we just hope the best teams, best players represent Nigeria.
Are there new names in the list released by Coach Brown? And what are the expectations of the Nigeria Basketball Federation?
Yes, of course, there are a couple of new faces that will be part of the team, the Afro Basket team. Rahid Suleiman, Stan Okoye, Ben Uzo, Talib Zana, of course, Eve up and on. Then Festus Ezeli, of course, a lot of people have been looking forward to seeing Festus play for Nigeria for years. And I think this is a great opportunity for him. So we're going to have a bunch of experience and youth in that team. And of course, Ike Nwamu is also part of the team. And then Chimamanike, who was very emotional when he got invited into the team. So it's a team that has a lot of mystery with a lot of potential. That I must tell you, this team has the capacity to win a medal at the Olympics if well-groomed and well-managed. Of course, the usual issue in Nigeria has been that of funding and support from private organization and government. Once the funding is released on time, then we'll have our programs working. I think we'll probably do a very good job with this young side.
Are you still on course for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
The beautiful thing about the Olympic is that we have two teams, the male and the female team. And of course, we're on course. We've been coming out with our plans, our strategies, and part of it is hiring the new coach, Coach Brown, who will probably guide the team and do well with them at the Olympics. So by and large, I think we have a very good chance, and we'll probably be the rookie or the team to beat at the Olympic. And of course, you should look at the drafts, the array of young Nigerians that have been drafted into the NBA. I mean, the opportunities, the sky, I say the sky is the limit for our team, and I hope we'll do quite well.
That's Felix Awogu, a board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
This is Felix Awogu, also a member of Nigerian Basketball Federation. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
American Caleb Dressel set a pair of short course world records over the weekend at the International Swimming League final in Budapest, Hungary. Dressel became the first swimmer to break 48 seconds in the 100-meter butterfly, touching the wall with a time of 47.78 seconds. About 40 minutes later, Dressel won the 50-meter freestyle in 20.16 seconds, eclipsing his own short course world record by 0.08 of a second. More than 6 months ago, VOA's Gwen Uten filed a feature on the 24-year-old Dressel and how he was coping with the coronavirus pandemic. And Gwen joins us now with an encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. With the Tokyo Olympics set to begin in 2021, Olympians are now faced with the challenge of staying fit and are forced to find creative alternatives on how to train. American swimmer Caleb Dressel is a two-time Olympic gold medalist, 13 times world champion, and current world record holder in the men's 100-meter butterfly. And like thousands of athletes, he was focused on qualifying for a trip to Tokyo when news of the game's postponement broke. Dressel spoke to Reuters News from his home in the U.S. state of Florida about how he's had to adjust to the year-long delay, and he said he'll do whatever it takes to be ready, even making the switch from water to land.
If the swimming pools get shut down, then I guess I'm going to get really good at running. There are ways around it to just keep that heart rate up. But for the most part, we're all in the same boat. But it is tough. I mean, of course, I would like to have my normal routine, but I don't have that. So what are the next steps to take? If I have to train in my living room, if they completely shut everything down and I can't leave the house, then I'm training in the living room, you know. Like I said, it's a part of the puzzle. It's a part of the process. If I don't have something available, then we'll make do. So if I got to train in my living room, then I'll get ready.
Fortunately, Dressel has access to a pool, and he says he is still able to train and adhere to the practice of social distancing.
There is one pool open that's about 45 minutes away from me. And then I am fortunate enough to have my strength coach actually has all his equipment, all the needed equipment with the normal weight routine I'm on in his garage. So weights has been fine. My strength levels are fine, just maintaining best I can. Don't want to fry myself at this moment, like I was saying, because the meet is so far along and kind of out of reach a little bit. But, you know, I have pool time Monday to Friday, 45 minutes away, only singles. But, you know, I'll drive further if I have to. So I don't know. Again, it's just with uncertainties. I don't know how long that pool is going to be open. It's a small group. I'm not breaking any of the rules that we have in place here. It's a very small group that's going up there to train. We sign waivers before we get in the water of symptom free. We haven't been out of the state, all this stuff. So I'm taking the right steps for sure. I don't want to put anyone in harm's way just so I can get to a pool in Florida. But it has been tough. I miss swimming.
Dressel's contract with the International Swimming League is keeping him afloat financially during the crisis. ISL will provide monthly funding to all its contracted athletes through to next year's rescheduled games. And Dressel says the financial support gives him peace of mind in a time of uncertainty.
I don't know when my next swimming is going to be. I don't know when I'm going to be back in the pool I normally train at. I don't know when campus is going to open up again. There's uncertainties for everybody. I'm not the only one in this boat. I don't want to play the victim here at any part. I still have a job. Worst thing is my Olympics got canceled. Okay. I wasn't even on the Olympic team. Okay. So really the worst thing for me was U.S. Olympic trials got canceled. Okay. I wasn't even guaranteed a spot going to Tokyo. So it's fine. Not even canceled. It got postponed. So, okay. My meet's a year later. That's the worst thing that happened to me. So to be able to have, through all this uncertainty, a meet that we know is going to happen, you know, financial gains that are in place already through Constantine and ISL, it's huge for everyone to have that fallback during a time like this and to have that support through ISL, which was so much fun last year. I mean, I enjoyed it. The new teammates I made, being a part of a whole new team that didn't exist before rather than a country, which is how typically all swimming competitions are set up, country versus country. So it's nice to have, you know, that unity, of course, within not just one country, but, you know, swimmers from all over the world to be able to fall back on that same plan that was put in place last year. And then to come up with that, whether it was plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, whatever from Constantine, and to have something in place that is for sure, is tremendous. It's huge for us, to have that support. It means so much because, you know, swimming is not the biggest sport in the world. I totally understand that. I don't really care, but to have someone who does care about us, it's massive.
Dressel competed last year in the ISL's inaugural season, but he says he hasn't yet committed to making a return.
There's so much uncertainty with sponsorships that I have at the moment, with where those are going to go, how those dates are going to pan out. So I like the idea. I love that Constantine's supporting us, but I don't know how far in advance what my schedule is going to be like, or what it's going to be like, or how the companies I'm involved with at the moment, what they're going to need from me within those months. So I like the idea, of course. I mean, I would love to compete in ISL. It was great last year, but I can't say 100% I'm doing this because there's just so many uncertainties right now for everybody. But I mean, I like the idea of, you know, being together with everybody again, racing again. And it'd be pretty cool to have it, you know, in the same spot like that.
For now, Dressel has settled into a routine of keeping fit at home. And in response to requests on how to stay in shape during the pandemic, he posted a video on how to train the abdominals, aptly named the quarantine workout. Meanwhile, Dressel hopes to add another gold medal to the two he won at the Rio Games in 2016. USA Swimming has confirmed team trials for Olympic qualification have been rescheduled and are set to begin on June 13th 2021. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African football beat, the Cameroon 2022 Nations Cup qualifying competition will resume in about 4 months. And just ahead, Douglas Mpuga will take a look at recent Nations Cup qualifying results.
Mali booked their place at an 8th consecutive Nations Cup finals after beating Namibia 2-1 in Group A. Mali's win put them at 10 points, two ahead of second place Guinea, with Namibia on 3 points, and still with a mathematical chance of grabbing second place. However, Chad, who drew 1-1 with Guinea, cannot now qualify. In Group J, Tunisia also earned their place at the Nations Cup finals, despite being held 1-1 in Dar es Salaam by hosts Tanzania. In this group, Tanzania are third on 4 points, two behind Equatorial Guinea in second place, with Libya on 3 points. In Group C, Sudan scored a last-minute winner to edge past visiting Ghana. The result means that Ghana will have to wait to qualify for the finals. Ghana are 9 points, level with South Africa, as Sudan move to 6 points. The other team in the group are Sao Tome and Principe, who are yet to win a single point after their 4-2 loss to South Africa. Morocco remained unbeaten in Group E with a 2-0 win over Central African Republic in a game that was played in the Cameroonian city of Douala because there is no suitable stadium in Bangui. Morocco are now top of the group with 10 points and need only a draw from their final two games to qualify for the finals. Mauritania are on 5 points after their 3-1 loss in Burundi, who have 4 points, and the Central African Republic stay on 3 points. Two games in Group L failed to produce a single goal, as Nigeria were once again held by Sierra Leone. The Lion Stars had pulled off a remarkable comeback to come from 4 goals down to earn a 4-4 draw. Nigeria is still top of the group with 8 points, one ahead of Benin. Sierra Leone move into third place on 3 points, and Lesotho are bottom on 2 points. In Group G, Egypt moved ahead of Comoros on goal difference after a 3-1 win in Togo, who are now out of contention. Egypt and Comoros both have 8 points and look the most likely to reach the finals. Kenya, who lost 2-1 to Comoros, have 3 points. In Group K, Ivory Coast topped the group due to a better head-to-head record over Madagascar. Both teams have 7 points. Ethiopia moved 6 points after beating Niger 3-0, who stay on 3 points. The Gambia top Group D ahead of Gabon on goal difference, with both teams on 7 points. DR Congo moved to within a point of the top two after beating Angola 1-0, who have just 1 point. In Group F, Rwanda held on for a point against visiting Cape Verde, despite playing an hour with 10 men. Cape Verde now move level with Mozambique in the group on 4 points, with Rwanda with just 2 points. Eswatini drew with Congo in Group I. In Group B, Malawi and Burkina Faso settled for a goalless draw, while South Sudan beat Uganda 1-0. And Zimbabwe and Algeria settled for a 2-2 draw. In Group D, the Gambia beat Gabon 2-1, while Mozambique beat Cameroon 1-0 in Group F.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. Once again, Monday's show was topped by FIFA, World Football's governing body, banning CAF president Ahmad Ahmad for 5 years on corruption charges. And that wraps up the November 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.